And now, get ready to get pulled off sides by the hard count. Hosted by two guys who babble more than Manning at the line of scrimmage.
Brown, right, orange, purple!
Here's Aaron Nagler.
Don't shut me up!
And Andrew Garda.
I'm friggin' velvety smooth.
Are you not entertained?
That's right, folks. It's the hard count. I'm Andrew Garda. Of course, you know me from such endeavors as footballguys.com and formerly thunderingblurb.com. Moment of silence. And we're back. And next to me, my co-host with the mo-host, it is Aaron Nagler, he of Cheesehead TV and Packers Transplants. Aaron, how you doing?
I am fantastic. Thanks so much for joining me, Andrew, on this new endeavor here at Cheesehead TV.
Endeavor. Wow, we're already dropping the $2 words. Let's not do that too much because that just means we're going to run out of money real quick. Anyway, of course, those of you know Aaron, of course, from Cheesehead TV, a great deal of people listening probably on the Cheesehead TV site. You guys know the Packers. That's your thing. But I don't want to be the one to – how do I break this gently? There are things beyond the Packers in the NFL.
Whoa. Slow down.
Like the Jets.
Easy.
Okay. But, you know, so we thought, you know, Aaron and I have been talking for a long time about doing something together, and we thought, you know, what better thing to do than to collide our knowledge together like two giant oversized elephants and survey the wreckage for your entertainment. And so that's what we're here to do tonight. And speaking of the elephant in the room, we'd like to talk football training camps, OTAs, mini camps. But a little thing called the lockout has screwed that up. And of course, the elephant in the room is the super secret meetings.
Super secret to no one. Yes, super secret, not so secret meetings held in Chicago Wednesday and Thursday, preceding today's fun activity in St. Louis, where the NFL and representatives for the former players' union met in front of the Eighth Circuit Appellate Court to plead their cases. Now, what I find interesting about this is that for 2 days you had optimism, you had hope, you had the thought that, hey, these two sides really want to talk. They, you know, D. Smith was there. Goodell was there in Chicago. A report came out today that, you know, the owners were making concessions, real concessions, coming off the demand for an extra billion off the top, which was always absurd. So you get excited. You get happy. You think progress is being made. And then the lawyers get involved again today. And then everything, you know, all the hope, all the promise just gets flushed away right there before your eyes.
Well, you know, I ain't no fancy book learning lawyer. I don't know much about law, which Cheesehead TV commenters reminded me of today. I did sleep at a Holiday Inn Express last night, but I don't understand that counts. So Aaron and I have a couple guys who know a heck of a lot more about this than we do. So let's go talk to the smart people.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the court. The district court order under review here suffers from three independent legal defects. First, and most obviously, the preliminary injunction runs afoul of the clear terms of the Norris LaGuardia Act. That act is broadly written and clearly encompasses this dispute and does not require the presence of a labor union. Second, and equally important, this dispute is covered by the non-statutory labor exemption. And of course, that's not a great surprise because the non-statutory labor exemption itself is an implied antitrust immunity based on several labor statutes, including the Norris LaGuardia Act. And third and finally, the order under review violates the doctrine of primary jurisdiction, both because this case satisfies all the preconditions for primary jurisdiction, but perhaps even more clearly, because the Supreme Court's Brown decision cautioned the courts against a finding that the non-statutory labor exemption was inapplicable without seeking the detailed views of the board.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. I'd like to start with the footnote of this court, number 12, in the Powell case. That footnote says the league concedes that the Sherman Act could be found applicable if the affected employees ceased to be represented by a certified union. The same point was made by Judge Edwards in the Brown case in the D.C. Circuit, where he made the point that, in our view, the non-statutory labor exemption requires the union or the employees to choose to be represented by a union or if they choose not to be represented by a union, they are protected by the antitrust laws.
Well, that was pretty edifying, and I will say now that it's coming back to us, the IQ level is dropping, unfortunately. But, you know, Aaron, ultimately, what's your take on putting aside the lawyer speak, putting aside all of the stuff that we've...
Wait. I could never put aside Paul Clement, who you just heard speaking eloquently on behalf of the NFL, who, I may point out, is a Packer fan. And also Ted Olson for the players. But we're going to focus on Paul Clement, Mr. Packer fan himself. Obviously a smart guy.
I think that possibly... I would like to take my... I plead the fifth. That's what I'm pleading right there. And the sixth.
It's going to take a bit to get me off of, you know, the Packer trail. I'm going to always bring it back to the Packers.
J-E-T-S.
I'm sorry, we lost Andrew there for a second. I don't know what happened.
I'm back. All right. Well, so you know my thoughts on like you said before the clips. I really thought, hey, 2 days of mediation, no lawyers, except for D. Smith. You know, Goodell. You had Kraft in there. You had Jerry Jones, who, as everybody will say, this is not me saying it originally, so credit where credit is due, everybody else but me, didn't build a bazillion-dollar stadium to have it empty, except for a couple of lacrosse games. You had Jerry Richardson, who I'm sure was there so he couldn't find Peyton Manning and insult him more. You had Rooney, you had Mara, two of the most respected owners in the league on the planet. And, you know, you had D. Smith and some players, and it seemed like they made a lot of progress. And it's interesting to me because certainly some of the things the judges said, certain things that were said in court today, really were, hey, if you guys don't come up with a decision or some sort of plan soon, nobody's going to like this.
Well, what was interesting in that regards, I saw a lot of people on Twitter and on the site asking what exactly he could mean by that. What the court saying, essentially, you're not going to like our ruling if you don't figure this out yourselves, is that they could potentially, you know, keep the lockout in place, but only for 6 months. And that's an arbitrary number. That's just an example.
They did toss that 6 months out. So,
you know, you think, well, yeah, that would kind of stink majorly for both sides. And what was interesting, though, is you look at Roger Goodell today. He was down in Carolina. I think he was at Fort Bragg for a Panthers event. But he was, you know, he was asked, and he said he has hope. He thinks that both sides really want to, you know, get a deal done, and you're going to see more negotiations. He wouldn't say when, although the report said that's supposed to happen next week. So, again, hope is in the air if we can just get the lawyers out of the way.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, ultimately, this has to come down to a decision based on everybody being at least a little unhappy. I mean, let's be honest, a good deal, a good CBA is going to leave everyone a little unsatisfied. So hopefully they can come together. I, like many people, feel more optimistic now, even though nothing happened in court today, than I have in months. And I hope that cooler heads will prevail and we'll come up with something that's not just going to be, I don't want to see the owners or players strong arm each other into a bad deal. What I really want to see, Aaron, is I want to see a deal that long term will establish the health of the NFL. Because, I mean, right now, every step they're taking is hurting the NFL, something that is going to keep the NFL around for a very long time so you and I can talk about it.
And that's the thing. You don't want to be right back here in, you know, 3 or 4 years. Let's get something done. Put it together that's, you know, keeps the NFL, as you say, strong, thriving for years to come. There's more than enough money to go around. There's more than enough money that's about to come into the NFL. The renegotiated television contracts are going to be ridiculous. The advent of new media is only going to, you know, make more money flow into the coffers. It's ridiculous. Not to mention expansion of the game overseas. There's way too much money to be made for it to you know, blemish even one game in the 2011 season, let alone the season itself. So let's get off of this because I'm getting depressed just talking about it. And let's get to some football. How about that? How about that action?
Do you remember football? I remember football. I remember it was this game that I used to watch on Sundays.
Hey, wait. You remember the last football game they played that mattered?
That was when the Jets lost to the Steelers. Oh!
No, I think it was the Packers winning the Super Bowl.
That was a good game. That was a pretty good game.
A great game.
That was a pretty good game. But, you know, of course, despite the fact that we've had all this lockout crapola for the last few months, there has been some NFL news and some things going on in the NFL. We could talk about a lot of things, and we can connect it to the lockout if we really want to.
Let's try not
to. You know, the teams who have new coaches, putting in new offensive schemes, it's a little bit more of a struggle when you don't have a preseason, you don't have the OTAs to try and install your offense. I mean, you know, I've read on a great site, Cheesehead TV, about, you know, how McCarthy likes to have a very certain sort of offseason program. You know, a team like the San Francisco 49ers, you know, bringing in Harbaugh. They're going to probably retain Alex Smith, but they're going to put in a whole new, well, you know, everything old is new again in 49er land. They're going to bring the West Coast offense back. And, you know, they've just got a lot of moving parts suddenly. You know, what do you think a team like this, Aaron, you know, that has in a huge transition, how do you approach a shortened offseason?
Well, I think our good friend Greg Rosenthal at Pro Football Talk has mentioned this several times, both on his Twitter feed and on PFT Live. It's just this offseason, it's bad enough. You're a new coach bringing in, you know, a new staff and new schemes in the best of times. It's a very difficult proposition. This offseason, you got to think of it as a close to a death sentence as far as getting off the ground that first month of the season, trying to win games. If you're a Harbaugh or a Rivera or, you know, any of these new coaches who have come in and have to put new things into place, and there's nobody there to teach. There's nobody there to instruct. And you look at the 49ers, poor Alex Smith. I know everyone says what a terrible quarterback he is, and he has not acquitted himself admirably in his time in the NFL. However, how many offensive coordinators has this guy gone through? How many different systems has he played in? More than anything else, a quarterback needs just even a semblance of stability in the offensive scheme. And I think Trent Dilfer spoke to this really well a couple weeks ago. There's just you can't expect a quarterback to improve in the NFL if he's constantly changing coordinators and systems from year to year, which is all you've seen Alex Smith do. Now, does that mean you should be handed the job? No. But in the circumstances, the fact that he knows everybody on the team, he's familiar with the squad, I think it just makes a ton of sense. And it's funny that the NFL has come out and said, in no uncertain terms, they sent a letter, a memo, to the 49ers and told them to stop talking about Alex Smith since he's not under contract, which I found hilarious. But you got to think, in the end, they're going to go.
He does have a playbook.
Yeah, he has the playbook for that day and a half that the lockout was lifted. But you got to think, I mean, I totally understand why Harbaugh wants to bring him in because he's the most familiar with the team. And he's probably, I mean, who knows, but he's probably their best option as far as, you know, they've got to start from the ground up. They've got Kaepernick sitting there. But is he really NFL ready? I mean, you know that better than I.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, I've done a couple of articles at Bleacher Report on San Francisco, and I've talked about Alex Smith, and I've long said that I think Smith may be better off moving on, not because he can't be a good quarterback, but because there's a lot of baggage there. I mean, he's failed there. Doesn't mean that he can't be a good quarterback, but like you said, he's gone through, I think, almost an offensive coordinator for almost every year he's been in San Francisco, and that's a lot to deal with. I think if he started somewhere else and got a fresh start, it may be career rejuvenating. As it stands, though, I mean, he is, as you said, the guy that everybody sort of knows already. He's familiar with the offense, and I like Colin Kaepernick. I think he's a very mobile, strong arm. There's a lot to like about him, but he's not ready to take a snap from under center. Mind you, not a lot of the quarterbacks in this class are, but he's not ready. And if you can bring back an Alex Smith or, sign a guy like Mark Bulger for a year, or
whoa, flag on that play, son. Mark Bulger is done as an NFL starting quarterback. You heard it here first, probably last. Mark Bulger is not the answer. If Mark Bulger is your answer, you are done. You are game over. Your season is done. If Mark Bulger is starting under center for your team in this football season coming up in 2011, you're done. Turn out the lights.
The party's over?
That's correct.
They say that all good things must end. Oh, almost got a spit take out of Aaron. I didn't even have a camera ready for that. Well, I mean, but whoever. I mean, as long as the thing is, you could trade for Cobb out of Philadelphia, and there is, of course, a lot of talk as to whether Kyle Orton will be moved from Denver. And I just think that you're probably spending more money, more picks than you want to on either of those two guys. And we could talk a little bit in a little while about both of those guys and what their prospects may be. But again, Alex Smith, he's going to come in. He's already, you know, he's already playing with the 49ers. They could tell him to stop talking about Alex Smith, but it's very clear he's got the playbook. He's organizing little, you know, workouts. I don't know if he's talking to Andrew Luck. I know Kaepernick is. You know, so they're all being schooled. We know what's here, Aaron. I mean, we know the writing's on the wall, and it's probably Alex Smith. And 49er fans, you may not like him because he hasn't succeeded yet, but he is going to be your best hope in a weak NFC West division.
Now, here's the thing. I got a couple things here on the old NFC West. And
a
I
couple
hope,
things?
A couple things here on the NFC West. And I hope everyone listening is paying attention to the fact that we are talking about a West Coast team. Because let me tell you, the East Coast bias is a real thing. And I didn't ever notice it until I moved to the East Coast. But let me tell you, the East Coast bias thing that everyone from like west of the Mississippi throws at everybody out east is very, very real. So we're diving in on the West Coast here, people. Matt Hasselbeck being available as a free agent whenever free agency arrives, if I'm the 49ers, I'd throw a ton of money at this guy. I'm sorry. I know people think he's done. I know people think it's a done deal that he's going to Seattle. He is the best quarterback available, bar none. I'm talking anywhere, free agency, trade, whatever. I think he has a Kurt Warner-like renaissance to his career in the waiting if he can just land in the right spot. That's how, I think he's so good. I was watching tape on him this past week. I can't believe that people are talking about how like I go to Seattle websites, message boards. There's a site that I think our friends Doug Farrar and Brian McIntyre have written for. And I see comments from Seahawk fans who are like, oh, you know, get him out of here. Well, we need somebody who we can build the team around and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, Matt Hasselbeck is done. Matt Hasselbeck is not done. He's a very good quarterback. He's the best quarterback available. And if I'm the 49ers, I jump all over it. Now, you got to think, you got to be pretty sure that, you know, Matt wants to stay in Seattle. Seattle wants to have him back. We know they were talking before all lockout heck broke loose. And then he probably will sign back with Seattle once free agency is back on. But I got to tell you, especially like you're talking about the NFC West, who's gonna take you in that division? I mean, Arizona? They trade him for Cobb? Is that their answer? I just got to think, yeah, Alex Smith, he can be a caretaker in San Francisco. But if Matt Hasselbeck goes back to the Seahawks, I think the Seahawks surprise a lot of people.
How do the Seahawks even let Hasselbeck go, Aaron? I mean, who's your future? I'm sorry, Seahawk fans. Charlie Whitehurst. Yeah, all right, I lived out in Los Angeles. You know, like, so I know of this East Coast bias that Aaron speaks of, football wise. I lived out in Los Angeles for a very long time, longer than I want to admit without dating myself. But you know, I was there for the USC Pete Carroll years. I am a USC alum. Despite the purchasing of national championships, I am proud to be one. I don't know what Pete Carroll was thinking with Charlie Whitehurst. I remember when they traded for him, and I said, I think Pete may be on crack. And now I still look at that, and I still wonder what's going on. And I got to tell you, to just riff off your stuff, Aaron, if Charlie Whitehurst is your answer, fold the tents up, kids. The circus is done. I think you're right. I think Hasselbeck still has an awful lot left in the tank, but, you know, really, how does the Seahawks let him go? I mean, in a division where you have Sam Bradford, who is playing very well, and, you know, maybe a Kevin Cobb or a Kyle Orton is going to help the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, they got Larry Fitzgerald. They have a pretty decent O-line. We'll see if Ryan Williams is going to be the answer running back, or if Beanie Wells can stay healthy, or Tim Hightower can find how to run between the tackles. But apparently that's funny, because it's never going to happen. You know, Kevin Cobb, I'm not totally sold on, because we saw him be really good for a little bit in Philly, and then we saw him completely fall apart last year, and he didn't look very good. He didn't look like an NFL quarterback. And he had more experience than when he looked good as an NFL quarterback, and that's never a good sign. Kyle Orton, as a friend of the show, Cecil Lammy of The Ticket in Denver, and Football Guys will tell you, Kyle Orton is a guy who he can manage your game, he can play the game. When push comes to shove and you're down by two touchdowns, Kyle Orton's not winning that game. He's not winning that game. And, you know, say what you will about Tim Tebow's abilities as a quarterback, but that guy will put you on his back and try and win that game, and people follow him. Kyle Orton is not that winning guy. So if you're the Seahawks and Hasselbeck is willing to come back, I think you have to take him. I think you have to pay him, because otherwise you're just twisting in the wind. I mean, then you might as well just call it rebuilding and let it go.
Charlie Whitehurst.
There's a reason that the Chargers let him go. And you could say, well, the Chargers let Breeze go, but they had Phillip Rivers. And I guess you could say they let Charlie Whitehurst go because they had Phillip Rivers. But I think they also let Charlie Whitehurst go because they had Billy Volek. I mean, you know, let's be honest here. If you're the 49ers and the Seahawks, I think you really want to look at a guy like Hasselbeck. It's interesting, the similarities with those two teams in some respects. The offensive line on both in both teams, a little bit shaky. The Niners played better last year, but they had a lot of problems due to injury at center. They've got a couple second-year guys that really have to step up. They're rebuilding. They've got Frank Gore, which is something that, all right, maybe the Seahawks have some running back by committee back there now, but they don't have a Frank Gore. So the Niners have Gore. Crabtree, if he ever gets his head on straight, you know, and they've got Vernon Davis. Yeah, Seattle doesn't quite have that yet. So if I'm Hasselbeck and the money's the same, maybe I stay with the Seahawks because they're my hometown team at this point. But if you're looking at who has a better setup for the next year or two, as that's probably what you have left in the tank, right, I think San Francisco is the place you want to go.
Speaking of the West Coast of the NFL, staying away from the East Coast bias, what do you think / hear / know about the push for getting the NFL back in L.A., your old stomping ground?
Well, you know, every time a friend of mine, Sam Farmer, the L.A. Times, will tweet out about a story about a relocation, I always say to him, I'm like, Sam, is it been 2 months already? Is it that time of year? Because there's always somebody rumored to go to L.A. Now, there are several teams that are always on the docket. Let's touch on them quickly. I'm going to outline them, and then we can knock them down or whatever.
Right.
The Chargers are always there. The Minnesota Vikings, Jacksonville Jaguars are always a topic of conversation going to L.A. Mm-hmm. And there's been some Tampa Bay Buccaneer talk.
I was just
going to
say.
I guess you could throw the Bills in there, but they would be more likely Toronto than anywhere else. But the Bucs have been sort of on the table. So let's just start with the Jags. All right. As much as they've struggled, I don't see it happening. I don't think that they're really poised to move. They really want to make it work down in Jacksonville. And, you know, they have had some problems selling tickets. But I think as they continue to put a better team together, it's going to be easier to pull that in.
Make one point on the Jaguars.
Sure.
And as far as selling tickets and the problems they're in, interesting note coming from Sports Business Daily, I think it was earlier this week, the NFL will most likely be adjusting, I guess there's a proposal to adjust their blackout rules, allowing teams to cover more seats than has traditionally been allowed, which would allow teams like Jacksonville, which have had like major numbers of games blacked out in the last couple of years, allow them to stay on the air and you know, not have to adhere to the draconian policies that the NFL has in place in regards to blacking out local games. So that may help the Jaguars' cause even just a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the blackout rule, by the way. I think it's ridiculous in this day and age. You know, I don't think you're really going to hurt yourself all that much. I mean, people are going to go to the game or they're not. It's not less expensive. You know, it's not getting less expensive. And, you know, it doesn't get less or more expensive based on TV viewership, really. And by the way, I mean, it's like, so Jacksonville, I don't think they're going to make that move. I think that it's a convenient finger to you can point at it and say, hey, they could. Because, sure, I mean, you could do that with almost anyone. But I don't think it's going to happen. Let me say about L.A. and football, by the way. People keep saying, well, you had the Rams and the Raiders, and they both left. You can't support a football team. That's not what happened. The Rams and the Raiders left because of ownership. Georgia Frontier, owner of the Rams, after she ran the team into the ground, and where Major League got their idea, perhaps, got a lucrative offer to move to St. Louis, which is where she wanted to be for family and other reasons. That's why the Rams left. Were they having problems selling out games? Yes, but I think this was also before people really understood about individualized markets, and they didn't market to Anaheim the way they could have. But they left because Frontier wanted to leave. Al Davis moved the Raiders because he got a sweetheart deal. He ripped off Oakland. And he's not happy now up in Oakland because he thinks he can make more money in Los Angeles again. The Raiders moved because Al Davis has wanted them to move. They moved because Al Davis thought he'd make more money up in San Francisco. And yes, the Raiders would have problems selling out the Coliseum. The Coliseum is 100,000 people. 100,000 people. USC, at the height of their national championship prominence, sometimes had problems selling that out. They used to have very good, consistent crowds there. It got moved because Davis could make more money in Oakland. So that's my rant. There endeth my rant on LA football. It can happen.
Word.
Next up, Minnesota Vikings. Now, this is much more in your wheelhouse there, Aaron. Maybe I'll let you start with this one.
Well, here's the thing. No Packer fan wants to watch the Minnesota Vikings move to L.A. However, I got to think there's a real possibility there. And when I say no Packer fan wants to watch them move, it's because they're a great rival. They're great to hate. And in any team on the West Coast would be lucky to have them to hate. But in the real world of, you know, the Vikings needing a place to play, you know, they're just the local governance is not getting behind this idea of a new stadium for the Vikings. I mean, the area has already built several new stadiums. Every time the resolution gets put in front of the state legislature, it just gets bogged down and it drives itself into the ground, and then all these politicians come out and talk about it and say, oh, we want to make something happen, and none of it is realistic and none of it actually pushes the agenda forward. You got to think Ziggy Wilf at some point says to hell with this and, you know, makes the move to L.A. And now if that happens, if that point, you know, happens before somebody else moves to L.A., I don't know. I guess it's kind of a slow man's race, if you will. But I got to think, if someone came along with an offer that really, you know, appealed to him, I think Ziggy Wilf would seriously look at it.
Here's the interesting and Alanis Morissette-type ironic juxtaposition here, is that much like Minnesota running into the public finance issues with their stadium, and mind you, you know, not to boomerang back to the CBA, but, you know, if the owners are asking to split up all the $9 billion, you guys never should ask for any public money again. You really shouldn't. I mean, most of you guys, Jerry Jones, I think, got some money. But I believe Jets Giant Stadium, New Meadowlands, or, you know, White Castle Stadium, whatever they're going to name it, I think that was pretty much all privately financed. And Lord knows if, you know, a $1 billion stadium can be financed, you guys probably can refinance and rebuild your stadiums on your own.
One thing should be pointed out on the New Meadowlands, that was also the players also put in a certain amount, I think it was a couple hundred
million. What?
Yes, it's
no.
true.
It's true.
No, but they keep telling me that the players don't put any money into that.
It's true. I'm just saying, I want to make sure everything's out there for everybody, so all sides are represented. We are nothing if not unbiased over here, except in our hatred of the Vikings.
Anyway, was that?
I promise to cover the Vikings totally fairly and unbiased for the hard count, except that they suck. All right.
Ditto Patriots. Anyway, I think so. So, you know, the problem with L.A. is that every time they come up with a stadium idea, two or three others pop up and it ends up getting so screwed up that the NFL goes, you know what? Never mind. We're going to Houston. Or, you know what? Like, we're just not going to bother with you guys. That's the other hiccup here. It's usually the Coliseum Commission who is like, no, but we have the Coliseum. I know it's old and run down, and if we don't really renovate it, we could still have a football game here. But I think Minnesota, I agree with you. I think it's likely in that I believe that it's going to be difficult to get a new stadium made there right now because they keep running into the roadblocks. And you have two proposals in Los Angeles now, one like pretty close to underway, and one well on its way to being underway, which I know sounds sort of like lawyer speak, but they're both huge steps. They're farther along than most LA stadium projects have been in a long time, so it could happen, which also leads us to the San Diego Superchargers. And the Chargers have been trying to get a new stadium down in San Diego forever.
I will say this. I do talk to one or maybe two people who know what the hell is going on in the NFL. And those one and or two people always say, whenever I ask about this, always, without question, say that the Chargers are the number one team to move in to LA. That's what they say. I hear this from people. I hear this from groups. I hear this from lawyers. I hear this from blah, blah, blah. Everybody says this is the team, the Chargers, to move into LA. And my reaction is always the same. What? So can you explain this to me?
Yeah. Having been an LA denizen for a long time. All right, so Los Angeles hasn't had. I was back in. Oh God, I'm gonna date myself, even though I said I wasn't gonna. I was in LA when we had pro football teams, unless you count USC because technically some of them were paid, so they were pro. But when you're not stuck watching Raider games, you would get Charger games. You almost always get a Charger game. It's usually the afternoon game. So there is a built-in market already of people who like the Chargers up in Los Angeles. And, I mean, it's why the Raiders sort of make sense in some respects as well, just because Al Davis is crazy and thinks he can make more money down there. But there's a built-in fan base of the Raider fans. When I have family up in Sacramento, I'd fly from L.A. to Sacramento, and if I did it on a Sunday, you'd hit the Raider fan flights, like, full with Raider fans. And if you were coming back from Oakland or San Francisco or whatever, you're just praying Oakland won that game because you really didn't want a bunch of drunk, angry Raider fans. But San Diego has a built-in market in Los Angeles, and they're closer than anyone else, and they're right there. Now, the downsides to it is that, you know, L.A. in and of itself is a lot of transplants, so a lot of people who have had no team to follow except for the Bruins or the Trojans for so long that they're, you know, they're Steeler fans, they're Bronco fans, they're 49er fans, they're Raider fans. So you're going into a base with an existing team that basically you're going to have to convince fans of other teams to start following your team. So, I mean, that's the uphill battle in terms of getting an audience. But there is a Charger fan base in Los Angeles, and the move does make some sense because it's not that far. And in some ways, it is abandoning San Diego, but in some ways, it's close enough to where people can still come up and see those games. I mean, there are a fair amount of people who drive down to San Diego for Charger games. So I think it's possible as much as anything else is. I mean, here's the truth about the L.A. thing. In some respects, as long as everybody still needs a new stadium, L.A. may remain empty because they're great leverage.
Yeah.
Right now, though, it's not working for Minnesota, and it hasn't worked for San Diego. So that time may be coming to a close.
Well, let me ask you this. You talk about, you know, San Diego fans migrating to L.A. to watch Charger games. Would you really get on a plane, train, bus, automobile to go watch a Norv Turner coach team?
You know, I when I lived in Los Angeles, I drove down for several charging events, although that was before Norv. So
would you drive plane anything for a Norv Turner coach team?
No, but I would go down to watch Philip Rivers.
Thank you. You just answered my question.
All right.
I mean, seriously, I can have my heart broken at home, or I can go do it live after spending money on a plane ticket. I think I know my answer. Speaking of coaches, what is up with the Coaches Association filing these papers with the Eighth Circuit Court in favor of the players, supporting the players, asking the court to end the lockout. And now I think the count is up to 14 teams. 14 teams, coaching staffs have come out and either disavowed the Coaches Association or said that they knew nothing about it. I mean, really? I can't understand how the Coaches Association was allowed to take this action without the support or knowledge of any of its members.
Yeah, I'm not really sure how that cluster fudge happened. I mean, and it's funny because I went for the easy cheap shot when the Redskins came out, when the coaches came out.
Let's be clear, that's what the show is all about, the easy cheap shot.
Like the James Harrison show. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, wrong Steeler. That should have been Hines Ward.
Man.
No, that was just mean. Man. It just keeps getting better.
Oh, man. All right.
That was for you, Lammy. but, you know, the fact of the matter is that the Redskins staff was the first group that came out. And I was like, well, of course. Dan Snyder threatened to fire him because Dan Snyder will sue or fire anybody who speaks ill of the Washington Redskins as a culture. It would probably expand to the NFL. But then you have the Saints come out. And that's not an organization that strikes me as that draconian. That's the word of the day, folks. Draconian. you have KC coming out. You have all of these coaches. Who exactly are the Coaches Association? How many members are there? And do they actually, are they CFL coaches? Like, did the Canadian Football League come out and say, hey, we think that maybe the NFL owners are hosers. And, they're giving the players a raw deal, eh? Give me some Molson, all right?
Molson, fantastic. Well, what was interesting is Len Pasquarelli had an article up where he interviewed Larry Kennan, the head of the Coaches Association. And, you know, Kennan basically intimated that, he admitted, yes, no, I didn't talk. He didn't say I didn't talk to anybody, but he definitely admitted that he didn't talk to everybody. About what he was doing. But he did intimate that he has been told in no uncertain terms that some of these staffs have been nudged by ownership and nudged by the powers that be, which I don't doubt. Like, you talk about the easy, cheap joke as far as, you know, Dan Snyder and the Redskins. I'm sorry. Of course Dan Snyder made them do that. Of course he did. Of course he did. I mean, this is the guy suing a local paper because somebody wrote something mean about him. Oh, Dan, I'm so sorry.
Because he was suing little old ladies to get their PSL money.
Oh, don't even start on that, because I'm trying to avoid the rants that I've been known to go on that other fine show here at Cheesehead TV, Packer Transplants. Check it out once the season's back. But yeah, Dan Snyder, you know he did that. You know he did it. So, you know, it's easy, it's cheap. You know why? Because it's true.
Yeah, the best comedy has some element of truth in it. But, I mean, I do wonder who he talked to, really. And it wouldn't shock me. I'm with you. It wouldn't shock me if the owners, some owners, came down and was like, and basically said, you know what? You got to come in and say, nay, no, we didn't support this at all. And the fact of the matter is I'm betting that the majority of the coaches, you know, they just want their players back. I mean, like, I point to Rex Ryan, and I just recently read his book, which is actually a fine read, even if you hate Rex. If you hate Rex, you're going to hate him more. But one thing about it is there are some very good stuff in there, including the guy overcame dyslexia. I mean, for an NFL head coach, that's pretty impressive. There's some inspirational stuff in there. But during the Darrell Revis lockout stuff, you know, he was essentially like, I just want my player. Just get me my player back. I just want my cornerback. And I think most coaches are probably, Aaron, looking at this going, would you just start the season? You're driving. Mike McCarthy must be chewing his nails to the quick. He must be going nuts. You know, Dom Coughlin doesn't have anybody to yell at. You
hey,
know?
Hey, Pat Hanlon made it very clear tonight on Twitter that Tom Coughlin has a heart bigger than the Super Bowl trophy that they won back in 07. So don't speak ill of Tom Coughlin. Tom Coughlin has a heart, as told to us by his PR handler.
Tom Coughlin can yell at whoever he wants. He won a Super Bowl. It's like, are you going to tell Bill Parcells not to yell or call someone a she? And you're not. I'm sorry, sir. You are not.
Oh, nice.
But, I mean, you know, Bill Belichick doesn't have anybody to tape. See, I didn't get that joke in before. Nice. The other cheap
shot. Oh, got it in there. Well done.
But the fact of the matter is that these coaches, I'm pretty sure if you could take a super secret, more super secret than the meetings earlier this week, straw poll, what you're going to get, folks, is a look at the coaches who basically just want their players back. They just want football back. Figure out a way to divide the pie and give me my players back. Give me my OTAs. You know, give me my mini camps. Give me my damned. Yeah, I want my guys out in the sun in August running around in shorts and T-shirts, and Brett Favre saying that he doesn't want to be there because he may not retire or he might unretire.
Hey, tell me this right now. Honest answer. What would you rather be talking about? Lockout or Brett Favre maybe coming back?
I'd like to talk about Brett Favre only because then you have somebody on his lawn, which is awesome, which has got to be the most awesome job in sports, is to go out and sit on his lawn in Hattiesburg and wait for, I don't know what, it's like sitting outside Buckingham Palace hoping that maybe the Queen will come out.
Poor Scott Hansen. That poor guy. I'm so glad he doesn't have to deal with that this summer. Maybe. Who knows?
Brett was in the news recently. But let's get off.
There. We won't go there.
No more Voldemort talk. As for the Packer fans.
Oh, well, you know what? Andrew Garda here on the Hard Count. I got to say, this has been pretty fantastic. Yeah. Our first time out, our maiden voyage. Hey, who knows? Maybe even down the road we'll get a guest or two. Easy. Okay, maybe let's not get crazy. But
there, you know, I think this is kind of along the lines of what you guys could expect from us. You know, just a lot of different topics to cover during the season. There will be a lot more just discussing what's going on and injuries and stuff like that. Off season. On a normal off season, we'd be talking training camps, but you know, hopefully we'll get that opportunity in a month or so, maybe even a couple weeks. And you know, we're just going to bring you our opinions, our takes on the NFL, what's going on around the NFL, the occasional digs at our favorite teams' rivals. But we will cover those teams honestly, and you know, honestly, you look at the divisions both of our favorite teams are in, and they're both very tough divisions. And there are some teams that have struggled the last few years, but it doesn't mean that they're an easy out. And it should be very interesting. And I have a tremendous amount of respect for the Patriots. I think that anytime I see the Jets go up against them, I know it's going to be a pretty good game, even if it's a worst blowout in the history of football. And I'm pretty sure you think the same, you know, just about anybody. I mean, the Packers, that's the nice thing about that division is pretty much everyone's a rival. I mean, with the Jets and Patriots, they're wicked. That's the big rivalry. Miami is sort of a rivalry, and Buffalo is sort of like the younger brother who you sort of like come along.
Now, wait a second. The Dolphins are sort of a rivalry? Come on. Come on now.
I had to get a dig in on
that's not true. That's a big rival. Maybe not as big as the Pats currently, but that's a big rival.
Yeah, no, when the Dolphins are playing well, even when they're not, they're always going to give the Jets a good game.
So. Well, let me just point this out, ladies and gentlemen. Fireman Ed, your little mascot there, his high school yearbook picture, he's wearing a Miami Dolphin shirt. Look it up. That's your mascot, dude.
That's true. That's just true.
That's just sad.
Not the official mascot. Although someone muttered, I went to the New Meadowlands and there's Fireman Ed in the corner, and one guy behind me, three or four beers into the game, was like, "Yeah, I bet I didn't pay for those tickets. And they're probably right. I mean, you know, everyone in the upper deck used to be lower.
Yeah.
But the PSLs is for another day. When news continues to be slow, we'll cover that. And we'll cover a lot of other stuff. We'll talk a little bit about what teams we think are going to do well and divisions are going to be tough as we go through the offseason and hopefully get more and more actual football to talk about. And Aaron, it's been a pleasure here in our beautiful studios, and next time we may be in the ghetto of my house, so we'll see.
We'll see. But it has been fantastic. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for bothering to listen, for pressing play, for downloading this either from Cheesehead TV or from iTunes. For Andrew Garda, I'm Aaron Nagler. You're listening to The Hard Count on Cheesehead TV.
You've been listening to The Hard Count with Aaron Nagler and Andrew Garda.
Let's go again!